Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to WAMS on this snowy Monday afternoon in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. I'm Burke Allen, and if you look out our studio window, we had a 3-foot snow over the weekend, so it is a very chilly day here in Washington. But to heat you up, a pot boiler of a courtroom thriller, and the best part is it's absolutely a true story. Layman Griggs is the author of After the Verdict, You Be the Judge, and Layman, this is an incredible story about you taking on one of the biggest corporations in the world and coming out ahead. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the invitation. Are you there?
I am right here. And
okay.
By the way, if you'd like to join us on the program, here's our telephone number, 718-5-1944, 718-506-1944. And you've written this book about an incredible episode in your own life, and this After the Verdict, You Be the Judge, by the way, can be found at aftertheverdict.net and Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and bookstores everywhere. You were a Mississippi State Trooper who went to work for Walmart, and then things went horribly wrong. Is that right?
That's correct, Mr. Allen. Thanks for allowing me to be on your show. They did. I worked for 7.5 years with a spotless record with the company. And then, like you say, after 7.5 years, things kind of went south on me there.
I think that's the understatement of the century. Now, tell me how you go from law enforcement to working for Walmart.
Well, I was actually involved in accident reconstruction, which is recreating bad accidents and testifying in court on liability.
Okay.
And this somewhat attracted Walmart, and they kind of chased me there for, I guess, a couple of months, tried to employ me to work for Walmart and to actually do their accident work on their 18-wheelers. Ultimately, I did go to work for Walmart. They offered me an attractive salary to go to work for them. I worked in their safety division. I even drove the trucks. And like I say, 7.5 years of good work with Walmart suddenly turned sour, and there was a false allegation made. And for 5 years in a bitter court battle, I defeated Walmart. I kind of slapped them around a little bit and took the smile off their smiley face.
Now, this is a classic David versus Goliath story, because when Walmart came after you for I guess it was to terminate you, it was for nothing more than they accused you of shoplifting a pouch of chewing tobacco. Is that right?
This was over $1.48 pouch of chewing tobacco. That's correct. I had just cashed an expense check for the company, I think, with some $300 or $400. Actually had all over $1,000 in my pocket at the time, and we're talking about $1.48 pouch of chewing tobacco. In fact, everyone knew that I didn't do anything wrong. The loss prevention guys at the store, the original ones, actually realized that nothing happened, but they had called their supervisor, and of course the supervisor and I exchanged words, and I continued working for 2 weeks after that, and then ultimately was called in and terminated.
Now, Layman, when you go up against a Walmart, and I'm assuming that you went after them for wrongful termination, is that correct?
I did, but of course that didn't flow, because we're an at-will state, and of course Walmart can hire you and fire you the same day if they want to. I mean, you know, if they don't like the way you're dressed, they can terminate you. I went after Walmart for telling stories on me. It was basically what it amounted to.
Layman Griggs is our guest today. He's the author of After the Verdict, You Be the Judge, and Layman mixed it up with Walmart and came out on the victor side, but it took you 5 years to do that. Now, many of us who've never been through something like that simply just wouldn't have the stomach or the fortitude for that kind of fight. What is it that kept you going against what I'm sure everybody must have told you were some pretty long ball odds? Because, you know, clearly Walmart is much better funded than any of us in a courtroom.
Well, certainly. They had their corporate lawyers there, and they had some good high-powered attorneys there, and they thought they would just waltz into this little small town and roughshod over the people here, you know, a good quality jury, and but they had no defense, and under the defamation claim that I had against Walmart, they had no defense at all. And each time one of their witnesses got up, the next one would shoot their testimony down. Every witness I had was a Walmart witness. They were employees at Walmart that I hadn't seen in over 5 years, didn't owe me a dime, but they actually got up and wanted the truth to come out. They told the truth, and it was easy for the jury to make the determination.
Now, you're a small-town guy living in North Mississippi there, and having grown up in small-town West Virginia, I know that in small-town America, much more so than in a place like Washington, D.C., where I am now, your reputation is everything. And I can imagine that must have been pretty difficult for a former state trooper to be accused of shoplifting. How did you...
Mr. Allen, this was one of the most humiliating bouts of my life. This was an experience that I just couldn't cough up and let go away. And, of course, even after I defeated Walmart, I still have trouble, you know.
Sure.
Because I know other people go through the same thing that I went through and have no recourse. I was fortunate I had recourse. And, of course, this book is similar to a whodunit. It has an actual trial transcript written, and it's to enlighten and entertain the readers. And it lets the reader be the judge and jury as to who was right and who was wrong.
If you'd like to pick up the book, it's available at afterthetheverdict.net, online at amazon.com, bookstores everywhere. The author is Layman Griggs, and he took on Walmart. And at the end of this five-year trial, for folks that haven't made it all the way through the book, let's go ahead and tip them off. You did come out victorious, and not in a small way, I understand.
Yes, sir, that's correct. The jury was pretty insulted about it. In fact, from what I understand later on, I was told by some of the attorneys that actually two or three of them actually were in tears when they went back to deliberate this thing because they put themselves in my place and thought, you know, this could have been me. Those employees that came up and testified on my behalf knew that it could have been them. And they all wanted the truth to come out. And as I say, this Walmart changed their rules and policies, you know, as they see fit. And I knew that, and that's what they were trying to do in this case, but it didn't float. I had all documentation that I had ever signed for, everything that Walmart had ever done and said to me. I had everything, I had everything documented. And for 5 years, it was an uphill battle. It was times that I just really wanted to throw my hands up and forget it. But, you know, as you said earlier, you know, you have a reputation, and they tested my character, and it was really an insult to me. The best witness I had was a Walmart employee at a store there, and she was an elderly lady, and I was actually thinking that, well, they're hoping this lady will pass away or go away before this trial because, you know, she was the best witness I had.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. They wouldn't even furnish her name. I had to find out what her – I knew her first name, but they never would furnish her name until just about 2 months before the trial.
Now, we should point out, to be fair, that certainly not all Walmart managers, and as you pointed out, not all Walmart employees are bad individuals. Do you feel like, from your experience with this company, and this is your experience only, of course, that this negative issue that happened with you was more indicative of your manager there at Walmart, or was it a corporate-wide issue?
No, it's not corporate-wide. As you say, it was one isolated incident. There were people there that I didn't know. I knew none of those people. None of them were any of my people or as far as management's concerns. And you're right. I have friends that work at Walmart. You know, I even still shop at Walmart because, you know, Walmart has things that you can't find anywhere else at times.
Sure.
And certainly I'm still welcome at Walmart. I'm surprised they allow me to even come into their stores, but, but they do. And as I say, you know, not all Walmarts are the same. This book was written for another reason, too, Mr. Allen. It's written to let each individual know that you don't have to roll over and play dead when you're accused of something. It tells you what you need to do if you're falsely accused. It lets you know that you don't have to be a scapegoat.
When you wrote this book and it comes out in your hometown, and clearly you're victorious over Walmart. Did your corporate nemesis, your adversary there, the manager that you tangle with at that local Walmart, have anything to say about it?
Oh, no, sir. His attitude was not the least bit changed. He's always welcoming. He always speaks to me. We shake hands. We talk as though nothing's ever happened. We've been friends for years, and as far as I know, we continue to be friends.
Is that right?
Yes,
that's the Southern hospitality you don't see in a lot of places. Layman Griggs is our guest. He's the author of After the Verdict, You Be the Judge, and it's available at afterthevertict.net. There's a new television show, Layman, that just debuted last night right after the Super Bowl, called Undercover Boss. And the premise of this reality show is where the CEOs of large companies go undercover in their corporations to find out exactly what's going on with rank-and-file employees. If the upper management came in from Arkansas to visit a Walmart in a small-town America, do you think they'd be surprised by what they saw?
I believe so. There was times that I questioned whether Walmart even had any upper management because we never heard from anyone. There were things that actually changed a good bit. After Mr. Walton passed away back, I believe, in 95, that's when changes really took effect. There were three things that Mr. Walton said that he'd never do. He'd never open his stores on Sunday. He'd never come into a town that didn't want him. And he'd never sell alcoholic beverages. And now they're doing all three of these things in his absence. And I believe if he was still around, he used to kind of would sneak around, you know, and just enter a store and just see what was going on. He checked for cleanliness. He checked the employees. He'd see attitudes. There was many things that he'd look for when he'd go around. That never happens anymore. Everything is left up to the actual store manager now.
Why did the store manager decide to come after you? What was their beef with Layman Griggs?
Well, there was not a store manager. It was loss prevention. It was two 19-year-old wannabe cops working for loss prevention. Actually, one of them was still in school and was just working there. He'd been there about 6 months, and they let him work in loss prevention. And, of course, you know, they've got job security. They have to catch so many people, you know, in a month's time, or they, you know, don't look like they're doing anything. And believe it or not, you're profiled when you walk into these big box stores now. They've got it figured out that you're actually in that store an average of 21 minutes each time you go in there. They know what you're shopping for, and they do a lot of this now. They've got everything down pat as far as numbers and figures. But this was happening between loss prevention and I. It actually had nothing to do with the store manager.
All right, very good. Now, an $8.5 million verdict later, that's a life changer. But let me ask you this. After being accused of shoplifting a $1.50 pouch of chewing tobacco, do you still chew tobacco?
No, sir, I don't. Actually, I chewed tobacco for probably two more years after that. But because of what it was doing to staining my teeth and keeping my gums a little irritated, I actually quit on my own.
That's understandable. It sounds like a fascinating book. I wish you all the luck in the world with it. The book is After the Verdict, You Be the Judge. Layman Griggs, you're a delightful individual, and I have to ask you now, did all that money change the way you live your life there in North Mississippi?
No, sir, it actually hasn't. A lot of people will ask every now and then, when are you going to get your money, that type thing. I still wear the faded blue jeans, the two-year-old shirts that I've had laying around for a while. Nothing has changed. I've not changed vehicles. I've got four kids that I'm looking out for, and so nothing has changed in my life.
Except that you can walk with your head held high and your name cleared, despite going up against one of the largest corporations in the world, and I congratulate you for that.
I thank you so much, and that was the best feeling in the world. Actually, it wasn't the money. It was I didn't go in asking for any certain amount. I went in, and I wanted to hear our jury say, Walmart, you messed up this time, and that's exactly what they did. And that's it took two or three days for the actual verdict to come in.
You were looking for that apology, and you got it.
I got it.
Layman Griggs, the David and Goliath story that you've got to pick up is in After the Verdict. The book is available now, and you be the judge at afterthevertict.net. That's afterthevertict.net at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and at a bookstore near you. And the author, Layman Griggs, is our guest today on WAMS Radio. Now, go out there and make it a great day. Thanks for listening.